Rainmaker FM.
Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome to another episode of The Showrunner. This is episode number 107 of The Showrunner. We're very excited to be here with you this week. A very special week, a very special day. I will tell you why here in just a minute. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital. And I am joined, as always, by my trusty co-host, the great Johnny Naster, host of Hack the Entrepreneur. John Naster, how are you doing?
I'm doing phenomenally.
That's good.
Huh. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah?
Really, really well. Yeah, I'm excited about this episode. Number one, because I think it's a really fun topic and I can't wait to get into it. And number two, because this episode is coming out on Wednesday, September 27th. And do you know what is special about Wednesday, September 27th?
Is it the day the Rubik's Cube was was created?
I don't know. Was it?
I'm pretty sure that the Rubik's Cube was invented on this day.
How do you know that?
Totally don't, making it up. It's a 1 in 365 chance of being correct. I don't know.
See, you know, you spoke it kind of with confidence to the point where I believed it. You could have really got me going there.
Something I learned from a young age, Jared. If you're going to say something, say it confidently.
I like it. I like it. So, okay. So I have something to say, and I'm going to say it confidently. I believe that if you are listening to this podcast, that you are serious about your show and you are serious about becoming a showrunner, and therefore you should consider the Showrunner Podcasting Course. So whether the Rubik's Cube was invented on Wednesday, September 27th or not, I have no idea. But what I do know is that we are closing the doors to the Showrunner Podcasting Course on Wednesday, September 27th. So we opened them last Wednesday. We've had some new people sign up. We're closing them on Wednesday at the 27th. And that way we can work with the new people who are in there. We're going to start doing our Showrunner huddles again, doing some Q&As, you know, kind of working individually with people who post in the community, who ask questions. I actually just earlier today was listening to the show of one of the new members of the Showrunner Podcasting Course. His intro is absolutely brilliant, but there are a couple pointers I think I can give him, and I'm really excited about doing that. And those kinds of interactions are what make the Showrunner Podcasting Course so much fun, so rewarding for us. And so we want to give you the opportunity to get in before we close the doors. The URL is showrunnercourse.com. If you go there, it will show you everything that is included in the course, everything that we will be doing, and you can kind of check it out, see if it fits your current needs right now. Obviously, the Showrunner Podcast will continue, and we'll be here to give you free advice on a weekly basis as we learn new things about podcasting and showrunning that we want to teach you. But if you really want to take that next step and really dive in deep, then the Showrunner Podcasting Course is a great choice for you. Johnny, anything that you want to say about the course before we dive into today's topic?
Well, I mean, I'm excited, as always, to have new people coming in and to seeing people who have been in the course previously, even launching more than one show, like a second show or a third show, as they're sort of evolve themselves as showrunners, which is kind of something we've all been through at some point or another. So that always excites me. And podcasting, in a sense, to me, is changing. I mean, maybe because I'm in year three of a show now, and so it's changing to me in the way I sort of am looking at it. And so I'm really looking forward. I have some things that I've really have sort of dawned on me in the last couple of months about running a show successfully and monetizing it successfully that has really interested me and excited me. And so I'm really kind of mulling over in my head how to go about sort of teaching that, especially as a group with the huddles, but then also putting together some more lessons for the evolution of showrunners as they go from starting out in those first 100 episodes and then really sort of moving forward. So that excites me, even though I don't totally know how I'm going to put that together yet, but I just love where it's going. And it's like, it's lots of the foundations are there that we've created in the course. And that kind of stuff doesn't change too much with the branding, finding those gaps in the marketplace, all that. But then there is a whole bunch of stuff that has progressed and is continuing to progress within the podcasting marketplace. So I'm looking forward to being able to push those boundaries further with these students moving forward, and plus the hundreds of students we have that have been part of the community for quite a while now.
I agree. I really am too. I've been running shows in some form or another for 7-8 years now. And some of, you know, a lot of those fundamentals do stay the same. Obviously, some things change as new technologies come out and, you know, we find new and better ways to do things. And so, like you, I'm excited about bringing those new things to the folks in the course, but also excited about teaching people the fundamentals that stay consistent and that underlie every great show. And you'll get a good mix of that inside the Showrunner Podcasting course. And so we hope that you will consider it. Just take a look. Showrunner Podcast or showrunnercourse.com is the URL. And again, if you're listening to this on the day this episode comes out, Wednesday, September 27th, it is the last day to get in the Showrunner Podcasting course before we close the door. So we hope that you will join us. All right, with that said, Mr. Nastor, we have a very interesting topic to discuss today. Are you ready to get into that?
Absolutely ready.
All right, so you and I did an interview with Sean Jackson on The Digital Entrepreneur. That came out, I think, the second or third week in September. It was a really good discussion, I thought. He asked us some really interesting questions. And, you know, one of the topics that we got on is this idea of, you know, is podcasting a good way to reach my target audience? I don't think anybody really disputes now the potential that podcasting has and that it's a legitimate medium, that it's here to stay, that there are a lot of people listening to it. But, you know, that question that people ask, and it's a worthwhile one, it's a reasonable one, is podcasting a good way to reach my target audience? Because just because, Johnny, you and I have found success with our audiences and different audiences that we've targeted with podcasts doesn't mean that the person listening to this right now, that podcasting is guaranteed to be right to reach their target audience. So you and I have put together kind of this three-part episode here with three questions that people need to ask themselves when it comes to answering this overall question of, is podcasting a good way to reach my target audience? Before we dive into those three questions, do you have any just kind of overview statements about this topic and this question, which, you know, again, a lot of people have before they really jump in with 2 feet to podcasting?
I'm noticing right now, Jared, that we are getting into the habit of answering questions with more questions, whether that's good or bad, but I've noticed this.
No,
theme.
We are answering questions with opportunities for people to find answers. That's what the other questions are. So it's not the questions. If they stay as questions, then they won't answer the overarching one. It's the opportunity for people to find the answers they need to answer that big question.
Very well said. Very well said. So is podcasting a good way to reach my target audience? To me, the short answer is yes. The whole no and maybes and ums and gray areas that are going to come up in this conversation all stem, I think, from maybe not knowing your target audience well enough yet, which is not necessarily a podcasting or a podcasting medium issue. It's yours as the person trying to reach that. The person is creating the content. And so that is going to push you to hopefully dive deeper into it. So ultimately, just know that that's why we're not mentioning, like, I mean, is podcasting a good way to reach my target audience? That, I mean, we don't even mention what target audience it is, because I honestly believe and have seen countless times over and over, and if you scroll through successful shows on Apple Podcasts, it's showing you that it's the way you define it or how you define that audience that is what allows you to reach them. Not so much necessarily just the fact that it's via a podcast. So with that preface,
it's interesting though. And it, I mean, it segues us perfectly into question one, because the first question that we suggest people ask themselves is your target audience well-defined? And you just described the reason why this is so important, because a lot of podcasts that we see fail and a lot of ideas I actually have for podcasts that I now kind of reject automatically is when I know that the audience I'm thinking about is too general, because there's so much content already out there. Of course, there's so many shows already out there. And if you just try and go out there with something really general, it's going to be really hard to get noticed. But when you have a really well-defined audience, you know exactly the niche that you are going to communicate with, and you even know how you're going to communicate with that specific niche, now you have a really good opportunity to succeed with podcasting. But if you don't know, and if you just kind of have this vague idea of who you're going to be talking to, and it's this real general audience that isn't very well defined, then not only will podcasting maybe not be the right medium for you, but I think you're going to have a really hard time reaching anybody with any content. So do you want to talk for a little bit, Johnny, expound a little bit on why this idea of having a really well-defined target audience is so important, especially for podcasting?
Ultimately, Jared, I think it is actually what makes podcasting successful, and what has taken podcasting already to really do, I mean, a lot of harm to radio as we used to know it, and even moving forward, how it's going to do more because of the fact with radio, radio advertisements and radio shows, it needed to be for a more general audience. Shows were created for general audiences because everybody just, there was only some radio stations in your town and you just listened to them. You got to pick them maybe by like the kind of music or how like abrasive or not abrasive you wanted them to be, or talk radio or not. But that was about it. Now this whole idea of between television and audio with podcasts, with on-demand technology and being able to consume on-demand, there's no reason ever why I would just put on a generic show, like some sort of generic radio show that you hear just like with playing 90s alternative radio hits or something. Like, I just wouldn't do it with all of the other noise and stuff made to cater to a general audience. It's like, no, I'm going to go right down into, it's like, yes, I like music. Yes, I like 90s alternative, but I want to go even further than that and to something very, very specific, because then it's not like 10% of the content that I enjoy. It's going to be 90 or 100% of it that I enjoy. And so this idea of really hammering down further and further and further, I mean, it's like your podcast, the Assembly Call, right? It's not a show for basketball fans, but it is, but it's not just like a show about basketball. It's not one even just about college basketball. It's one about IU basketball. It's specifically for those people. And so it's not people, I don't think people just around the country who are into any other team will just be super into your show, but that's not the point. The point is that the audience that you have is super, super targeted and into your message and wants to be part of that community. Yes. That to me is what the value of this is, and the way you really have to think about your audience. You're not going after general topics because we don't want those anymore. I mean, people don't want podcasts. Podcasts don't get super successful about those general topics. They get it when you go specific and specific. Like, the more and more down you can go and the more specific you can get about your audience, that's really where sort of the magic hits. And it's not about this CPM that used to be on the radio. And we still talk about it a bit in podcast advertising, which is that cost per thousand that you get paid. But the whole like way people look at that changes even if you have a really small audience, but they're super, super specific and they are this person into this type of thing and spends their money in this way. It's a whole different conversation when you get into sponsorships in that sense. So that's why it's really crucial to kind of understand it that way. And yeah, I think that's it.
And the thing about that is it can be scary. Like, there is comfort. Like, you know, if I were just going to start a basketball podcast, you know, there is comfort in knowing how many basketball fans there are out there. And it's like, man, there's so many people who like basketball. Surely I can just get this small percentage of them and they'll listen to this and I'll still have a big audience, right? And then you niche down to IU basketball and it's like, holy crap, you mean we're just going to create episodes for the fans of one school's basketball program. Like, I feel like I'm really, really shrinking my potential to build an audience here. But one of the most important lessons I have found as a showrunner is that you actually have, and it's, you know, it's a little bit counterintuitive, but I have found that I have a much better chance of actually building a bigger, growing, more engaged audience the more niche I get. So actually, the smaller that the overall potential audience is, as long as it's a niche and a specific niche, and I really know how to talk to those people, and I can kind of put myself in their shoes, and I understand what they need, what they want, what other shows they have out there, you know, in terms of choices to listen to, I can really position my show for success and get, you know, maybe a smaller audience than, you know, my initial dreams when I decided to start the podcast were, because I'm thinking all basketball fans, but it's a more engaged audience, and it's actually bigger, even in numbers, than what I would have gotten if I had just gone out there for basketball. Because if I'm just talking to all basketball fans, well, how do I create a show that really talks to any of them? Because there's so many different interests and angles and areas where I could go. And plus, there's so many other shows out there now trying to cater to that more general audience. And so I know it can be a little bit counterintuitive, but man, I think when you niche down, when you really define that audience, you have a much, much better opportunity to really make an impact and really build that, in the beginning, small engaged audience, but then that will really grow because you'll have those ambassadors for your show that will bring other people in, and then the snowball starts rolling, and eventually it gets bigger than you may have thought it would have gotten when you niched down in the first place. So it's so important. And really, when it comes to this question of, is podcasting a good way to reach my target audience, if you don't even listen to questions 2 and 3, if all you do is listen to question 1, that's going to be, you know, that answer to that question is really going to help you answer the overall question immensely. And it's the most important thing that we're going to talk about here in this episode. Now, that said, questions 2 and 3 are still important. So let's talk about question 2, Johnny, which is, does your target audience listen to podcasts? Now, based on what you said earlier in this episode, I think there's a part of me that thinks you don't even necessarily think question 2 is necessary. And you kind of alluded to that. Like, do you think that it's, and I'm going to go through a few bullet points here for kind of how you determine if your audience listens to podcasts. Do you think that this is even worth discussing?
I mean, in the most basic sense, I mean, even just when you go through like the showrunner podcasting course, we take you at the beginning when you're setting up your branding and figuring out your format and what your show is going to be exactly about and who it's going to be for that audience of one. We take you to iTunes to look at your marketplace. If you go there and there is no shows, yeah, you might want to rethink it, but also I honestly cannot think of a topic right now that doesn't have podcast listeners. Yes, there's going to be some, like, and anybody can think of an example in their head, I'm sure, of like certain demographics or targets that you could be hitting that have a higher than average like listenership or a lower than average. But I can't think of one that has, just because if you go through iTunes, like the tens of thousands of shows on there, they cover the wackiest of topics, and they can have reviews and everything. So to me, it's not necessarily about that. Obviously, when you're creating content in any sense for any demographic or any target audience, yes, you want to know them well enough to know that they either like to read or they like to learn by listening or they like to watch videos. That should be something. But I mean, we're talking about an audience that you have a close relationship to in some way. I think to me, it's sort of going to be just an understanding that you know already that they do, or at least a portion of them does. Like, yeah. Not everybody in the Hack the Entrepreneurship audience listens to podcasts. That's absolutely not what I'm getting at, but there is a segment of them there, which is very much the segment of the average population that listens to podcasts. So in that way, Jared, I mean, I don't think it's super necessary. And then to know moving forward that these numbers are every single year increasing with the number of people who have heard a podcast and who listen to them on an ongoing basis. And going back, tying to my discussion between radio as we know it or knew it, and podcasting moving forward, we're just all the time just stealing listeners from radio.
Yep.
It's just how it goes. The more, like, cars just nowadays just come out with podcast players in them. Everybody's has phones. They just play. They all come with, like, podcast apps permanently on them. That's just pushing more and more people. Radio shows know that they need to release podcast versions of their shows if they want people to listen. So to me, it's an understanding that it your audience does listen. But you still have to make sure to define them very, very, very well and try and just target a very small segment of those people.
So I had some devious intent with this question. Does your target audience listen to podcasts? Because I agree with you. I think the numbers back up what you're saying. I think trends back up what you're saying. Where everybody thinks this is going in the future backs up what you're saying. And so I think in the process of answering this question, does your target audience listen to podcasts? I think in almost all cases, the answer is going to be yes. And I think by going through the process of kind of answering this and figuring out, does my audience listen to podcasts? I think you will be buoyed with confidence knowing that, yes, there is an audience for what you're doing. Because some of the things that I suggest folks do, like, you know, look at the stats, right? You can look at the annual Infinite Dial research surveys by Edison Research, right? And, you know, let's say that you're just trying to target an audience of people who are all, you know, 75 years old and older. Okay, maybe they're not great for a podcast if you need to have immediate results in the next year, right? Because there's not that many people that age and older listening to podcasts. But I'm guessing that you are most likely not targeting an audience that narrow, right? But for, I mean, you look at, you know, the ages from, you know, young, you know, all the way up, so the growth in podcast listening is really impressive. So when you look at the stats, they're going to give you confidence. You know, I also think, as you mentioned, surveying existing podcasts to see if your audience is being served, that helps. And if you see that they are, don't immediately think, oh, crap, someone's already doing this. That, I think, is the wrong way to look at it. I think the way to look at it is, okay, there is an audience here because other shows are up around this topic. Now, let me figure out how they are serving this audience and let me figure out how to position myself to serve it a little bit differently and to take a unique spin that isn't being given right now. The next thing is, if you go out there and you don't see any existing podcasts in your area, look at some existing blogs and see if that audience is even being served at all, right? Because if the audience is being served, but there's no podcast yet, well, now you may be in one of those kind of rare opportunities where you can get in early for podcasting, right? Now is not early for a sports podcast because there's so many of them, but depending on what your niche is, it could still be early if there's not a podcast out there. That will give you more confidence. And so the other thing to remember here is, you know, if you go out and you look on Apple Podcasts and you don't see anything, and even if you go look on, you know, look out for other blogs and you don't see anything yet, that doesn't mean that it can't work, right? You may need to take the long view and be sure that you're really in it for the long haul, but trust the trends and trust where on-demand audio is going, which is what we're talking about. And there still may be a way for you to position yourself for success in the future. So, you know, I think it's so important to focus on that first question. Is your audience well-defined? And then the second question, I think it's fine to kind of do as Johnny suggests and, you know, to a certain extent, take this for granted that you, your audience will be listening to podcasts, but go out there and look. Help build confidence for yourself by knowing that this audience is there, that other people are serving it, and then that it's all about figuring out how you can serve it differently and better. And if you do that, then you will have an audience that comes to you. So that's the important point of question number two. So we talked about, is your target audience well-defined? We talked about, does your target audience listen to podcasts? Now here's question number three, Johnny, which is, and this is a really important question, because just reaching your target audience isn't enough, right? Just building an audience isn't enough long-term for your podcast to be a successful, to be a success. So the third question is, will the connection that you create from a podcast help you actually reach your goals? Because Johnny, is it fair to say that you could create a successful podcast, build a huge audience, but still not be any closer to your goals?
Yeah, of course. I would think that if you built a podcast and built a massive audience around it, you could create some goals and then reach those goals.
Yes.
but yeah, if you are attempting to reach a specific audience, Jared's absolutely right, where you need to know what your goals are heading into it and if podcasting can help you reach those. Because if not, then there's no point to all of this. No matter how many people you reach within that audience, if that doesn't drive towards your goals, it's just distracting you from the proper channels you should be taking.
Yeah. And, you know, you used the assembly call earlier as an example, and I talk about that show a lot here on the Showrunner. So let me use that as an example here, because building the audience for the assembly call really hasn't ever been the issue, right? Podcasting is a great way to reach the community of IU basketball fans, and it especially was, you know, back when we started the show 7 years ago, because there just weren't any other IU basketball podcasts out there, right? So can I build an audience has never proven to be the question. But here's what has proven to be the question, which is, can I drive enough direct and indirect profit from the podcast that when you combine it with the intrinsic value that I get just from the enjoyment that I get out of it, because this is kind of a passion and an interest of mine, when you add all that up, does it make it worth my time? Because if I'm just here with this big audience of IU basketball fans, but it's taking me, you know, 10, 15, sometimes 20 hours a week to do all of this, well, you know, I'm now married, I have a daughter, I have, you know, a job, there, I have a lot of other demands on my time. So if I'm not getting something from this project, I could have this big audience, but it could actually be detracting from my goals, right? It could actually be forcing me to live a more stressed life than I want to live if I'm not actually getting something out of it. Now, fortunately, with paid ads, with donations, with affiliate marketing, as well as everything that I've been able to learn from that show for the Showrunner and articles I've written for Copyblogger and that kind of thing, it has. But without this, without being able to figure out a way to actually achieve business goals and to really be able to design the show to fit into my life the way that I want it to, without all that, I would have just been building an audience that was sucking my time away, that was sucking my resources away, and I could have ended up, you know, after 100, 200 episodes with this huge audience, but then a bunch of debt in terms of the time and money that I had invested. Okay, now you mentioned, Johnny, when you have an audience, you have an asset with which you can then start earning. And maybe you need to adjust the goals that you had in the beginning once you actually have your audience and you've learned from that audience. But it's so important to keep this in mind as soon as you can and to think about it early on. Because I know, you know, you listening to this, getting ready to start a show, you may not be able to go through an entire year just building an audience without achieving any kind of business goal as a result of it. And so the more that you can think about this and that you can combine what we just talked about in questions one and two, you know, is your target audience well-defined? Does that target audience listen to podcasts? Okay, we've got that down. But now let me prepare for success, all right? So if I put the show out there and I create this connection with the audience, will I actually be able to reach my goals with it? Whether those goals are to make X amount from sponsorships, to bring people to your email list, to get people to, you know, sign up for your services, whatever it is, do you have a vision for how that connection is going to help you achieve your goals? And I think the sooner that you can have that vision in mind and really start putting plans in place to achieve it, the better off absolutely that you're going to be. And that will prevent you from waking up a year from now going, man, I worked really hard. I've got this great audience, but this is almost more of a burden now. I don't really know what I'm doing. This isn't leading me anywhere. You want to try to avoid that. And so if you can also answer that question of will the connection you create from a podcast help you reach your goals, now the big question, is podcasting a good way to reach my target audience? Now you're prepared to actually answer that question one way or the other.
So this is really interesting, Jared. As we're going through this, to me, questions one and questions two are absolutely like essential to be answered immediately when you're even coming up with sort of the theme and the brand and the format of your show and then getting ready to launch. Question three, to me, ideally is answered beforehand in the same time as these first two questions. But correct me if I'm wrong, but the way you did it with the assembly call, the way I did it with Hack the Entrepreneur was I didn't actually think about creating and sort of like monetizing it and turning it into that sort of a business until after. My original goal was to interview these 30 smart people that I had this list of. And I knew that this was the way to do it, was if I was recording a podcast, having these calls, they would be willing to take the time to talk to me.
Right.
And then I was going to put that out.
So there you go.
But then it changed.
Right. But so stop right there. But even from the beginning, you had an idea for how this podcast was going to help you reach your goals right there. Now it changed and it wasn't monetary, and that's okay, but you've got to at least have that idea. Because you could have gotten to the end of 30 episodes, not really had an audience, but at least you achieved this goal of interviewing these 30 people. Now you've got those contacts. Okay, you're okay. So podcasting was a smart way for you to reach that target audience because it had this indirect benefit for you independent of if the audience ever came. So at least that was defined. And that's what I mean. Even if it's a bit of a nebulous definition in the beginning, and it doesn't have to be monetary, but at least kind of understand what that is, even from the beginning. What does success look like, even through 25, 30 episodes? It just helps you, again, avoid that moment where you're like, man, I've put in all this work and I don't even know if I'm getting anything out of this, because that's what you don't want to have happen.
Right. And so this, to me, is a fascinating sort of conversation that I want to take to the next episode. But in business, we call this success metrics. So you come up with an idea for a new project, to launch a new product, a new service, anything within your company. And when you're getting ready to put all of this effort into it, which could be launching a podcast for your business, the only way to do it is, unless it's going to be tied directly to a monetary benefit immediately, which lots of times these aren't, but you do have to put success metrics around it. Things you're going to look at a specific time that you're going to give your project, and then you can reevaluate in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever it is you set out at the beginning. But it is these success metrics that you have to then look at that time and then decide sort of the next set, which is exactly what I did with Hack the Entrepreneur. 6 weeks in, it was over what I wanted to do. But now there was new information coming in with the form of sponsorship requests, and I had to decide if I wanted to continue. And so I gave myself a year that time. But I think this is a fascinating conversation, because lots of times you and I, Jared, we're coming from 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line for people. When if you're just getting ready to start that podcast, it sounds like everything's clear and we have these visions and we have these goals in mind for our shows and clearly stated, which we do. But to me, they start sometimes with just these success metrics that aren't necessarily getting a whole bunch of sponsors or getting a bunch of money or getting, you know what I mean? So yeah. I would like to tie this into the next show, and let's go through what and how to define success metrics for your podcast.
And maybe what you said is really interesting here. So maybe the better way to frame this third question isn't necessarily, will the connection you create help you reach your goals? Because that's almost a rhetorical question. Like, creating a connection with an audience through a podcast will help you. But the idea is, you know, do you have a success metric defined? Because I do think it's important, even if it's not your final one, and making sure that you're open to changing it, but I do think it's important from the beginning to have a success metric in mind to help be kind of that guide for you through those first, you know, the struggle of the 7 to 10 episode hump, and then getting through those first 25 episodes and moving beyond. So maybe more the question for number three is, you know, are you prepared with a success metric to launch with? Because if you are, then I think as long as you do that and have that kind of guide to help lead you through that beginning, that will help you get, you know, to the good stuff down the line when you really create that connection and can kind of take it to the next level. So I think that's maybe more the way to look at question three. So, is your target audience well-defined? That was question one. Number two, does your target audience listen to podcasts? And number three, are you prepared with a success metric to launch with to help guide you in the beginning and even to get you to that point where you can redefine it and zero it in an even greater way down the line once you know your audience? Maybe that's a better way to look at it.
That is. Because it's essential to have those metrics. And you and I wouldn't be here and where we are today with podcasting if we didn't have those since the beginning. Yeah. So we will dive into sort of a clearer look at how to define those metrics for your show next week. And I also want to just put this out there. For question two, does your target audience listen to podcasts? I felt that your podcast audience definitely does, and shows already exist targeting your specific audience, because I just am confident that those shows have been created, and that's a good thing. That's what you want. Jared thinks that there might be some that haven't been. If you target your audience specifically according to question one, and you go to iTunes or Google Play or wherever, and you search and you do not find a show in there, I want you to let us know. Because I'll be fascinated. I want to see, and I want to hear of markets that you are out there trying to target that don't have podcasts in yet, especially because then I want to like know how you sort of find, well, there's already, the gap is the missing shows in that place, but you still have to be very specific. And then I would love to be able to sort of hear about how that sort of 6 months from now and after launching your show, how it sort of plays back, and if we can sort of see in sort of real time how people can sort of pull out an audience that was just there waiting to be served with a podcast.
So an example of that might be the show Stories of Superfans of Johnny Nastr. So John Nastr has this large and growing audience of people who follow his show and who follow him. And so if you were to create a podcast that tells the stories of these people, that would be a show. I don't think that's out there yet. It absolutely should be. But that would be an example of something that's not out there, but is definitely a show idea that would work. And that's the bottom line.
So you can track Jared and I down on Twitter. We're easy to find there. Or you can get onto the email list at showrunner.fm and then just hit reply to any of those emails and let us know about this sort of missing shows that you've found.
Like Stories of Superfans of Johnny Nastr. Okay. Also,
right, which is not going to be missing for long, apparently.
No, that's, someone's going to start that. And also, a final reminder, again, if you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, September 27th, 2017, this is the final day that the Showrunner Podcasting Course is open, at least for this one-week launch. Go to showrunnercourse.com. Take a look at everything that is there. We do offer a 30-day money-back guarantee on the course, so you can get in there, you can check it out, and see everything that's in there. We don't, you know, we're not trying to, like, you know, hold you to anything and say if you decide to check it out, you know, you have to stay in forever. No, we want you to come in, look at it. If you decide it's not for you within 30 days, that's fine. But we want you to come check it out and join us on a Showrunner Huddle. Come participate in the community. Check out all the modules and the lessons that are already in there. And like Johnny said, we have some plan that we're going to be adding as well. So go to showrunnercourse.com, check out everything that is in the course, and we really hope to see you in there and kind of take this relationship to the next level. We love talking with you every week here on the Showrunner Podcast, and we'd love to dive even deeper inside of the course, and that's what the course allows us to do. Showrunnercourse.com. We hope you'll be there, and we will definitely be here next week with another episode building off what we talked about this week, and we hope to see you with us here next week as well.
Take care. It's been fun.
Yes, it has.